This is the Word of God from the Household of David Church. It is a message designed to raise men after God's own heart. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm pregnant with a word from heaven to you this morning. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. You know, one of the reasons why I love General D is that we are men of the same spirit, right? I could almost predict he was going to talk about faith today. Immediately God told me. I said, that's what God will tell him to. I'm sure. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if you were not in the first service, you need to get the message of the first service. It will complement what I'm going to be sharing with you. Verses 12. I know there is no big screen, so you can use your phones or use your Bible. I want us to read it together. 1, 2, let's go. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Somebody shout the first word again. Fight! You may be seated. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, I've titled this The Good Fight. You know, knowledge is a powerful thing in the kingdom. Very powerful thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But does it stop there? It says, how would you possess those things? It says, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. So knowledge is a powerful thing in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, OC chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you lack knowledge, you would certainly not walk in the things you're supposed to walk in. I remember a story of a woman who was serving a very wealthy man. The man was about to die, and he says, hey, you've served me for about 25 years. He said, my gift to you is this plaque, you know, and gives her the plaque and says, I want you to read the plaque properly and make use of the plaque. And this woman said, oh, thank you, sir. But the woman could not read. So she took the plaque. The man died. She took the plaque and put it somewhere in her house. When people come visiting, you know, because the plaque is going to be afar off, she will tell them that, you see, that was the plaque this my beautiful master gave me when he was about to pass on. Then one day, and this woman was living in abject poverty, right? One day, one of our cousins came visiting with his son. The son had just graduated as a lawyer. So, you know, they went, oh, thank God. God has been so good. And then the man told them the story again. He said, you know the interesting thing? That my master that died was a lawyer. The son said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, and he gave me that plaque. And the lawyer, the young lawyer, went close to the plaque and looked at it and said, well, this is a good plaque, but there is a paper that he tucked into the side of the plaque. So she brought it out, and he brought out the paper and looked at it. And looked at the woman. I said, do you know what is this? The woman said, no, that I thought it was a note from him. Since I could not read, I didn't bother reading the note. So I just left it with the plaque the way he gave it to me, and I've kept it there for 10 years. And the lawyer looked at her and said, ma, this is a check to $10 million. You've been wealthy all along, but you never knew. You see, the $10 million was in the bank waiting for her, but her ignorance kept her away from it. Knowledge is a powerful thing in the kingdom. Now, the Bible tells us that fight the good fight of faith. And this was Paul the Apostle speaking to Timothy was admonishing him. Now, if you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, right, I think verses 5 or so, the Bible tells us that Paul himself says, I have fought the good fight. Now, go to the next verse, verse 6. Right, 2 Timothy. Go next, yeah, verse 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. Okay, sorry, you can't see it. I can see. Yeah. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That means Paul was not telling Timothy to do something he was not doing. He says, fight the good fight of faith. How would Paul call fighting good? Because there are different kinds of fights. But Paul is telling us the fight of faith is a good one. What is the fight of faith? The fight of faith is when you are imposing the spiritual realities that God has made available to you over your earthly, physical, changeable circumstances. And I've used every word I used to define this deliberately. The fight of faith is when there is a conflict between the circumstances of your life and the reality of God's word. To understand the fight of faith, you need to understand that redemption has two sides. There is the legal side of redemption, and that is everything that Jesus came to die for. Jesus died for you to walk in health. Jesus died for you not to be poor, and there are loads of scriptures to prove that. I don't have the time to go into that this morning. But Jesus came so that you will live a superior life. Jesus came to give you eternal life and for you to enjoy eternal life. And that's why the later part of that scripture says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Because there are people that have eternal life, but when you look at their life, there is no expert. You can't reconcile what eternal life describes and what their life is looking like. So he says the way to take advantage and enjoy all of the benefits and the provisions that Jesus made available to you is to fight. And it's a fight of faith. So the legal side of redemption says Jesus has done everything. You know, sometimes we're asking Jesus to do what he has already done. And pastor always tells us that Jesus would never do what he has already done. Three things. Number one, Jesus will never do what he has already done. Number two, Jesus will never do what he has told you to do. Number three, Jesus will never do what he cannot do. For example, he cannot lie, so he won't lie. So the legal side of redemption sorts all of what Jesus has done out. But there is a second side, which is the vital side of redemption. The vital side of redemption is when the legal side becomes operational and active in your life. Now, you know, when you go to the hospital, there is one thing they would always tell you to do first. What's that? Go and take your vital signs. Now, what are they checking? They are checking your pulse. They are checking your blood pressure. They are checking. Because if they check those things, they can already tell, is this person healthy or not? They don't need to go through. I mean, they check the vital signs, you can tell. This one, there are issues, you know, or there are no issues. Now, so there is the vital side of redemption, which is when what Jesus died for legally, you are experiencing and living in it. But you see, there is a journey. It is a myth to think that because Jesus died for you to get something and you are born again, you will automatically enjoy it. Listen to me again. It is a myth to think. And you know, this is why a lot of people have issues. I stumbled on an interview, was it yesterday or day before yesterday, of someone, I would not want to mention his name, a very popular musician, that at the time he said he gave his life to Christ and everybody all over the world were happy and all of that. And, you know, even released some songs that we still sing today, you know. And I was watching his interview and he was saying after he gave his life to Christ, he was disappointed because when he prayed to God, God did not answer a lot of his prayers. So he has gone back. Yeah. It was very funny. And I looked at this man and said, nobody told him that, you see, there is the legal side and the vital side, but there is a way to enjoy the vital side. It is not just praying, because you can be praying in unbelief. So how do you enjoy it? This scripture tells us, it says, fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight of faith because the devil does not want you to enjoy eternal life. You must understand that, yes, we have an enemy, and this fight is not against the enemy. You didn't hear what I said. This fight is not against the enemy. This fight is about what God has given you that you are to take possession of. Amen. So, it is a fight of faith because there are circumstances of life, and you can look at them in different ways. Is it in your body? Is it in your health? Is it in your finances? Is it in your business? See, think about everything good. That is God's plan for you. Yeah. Because he has said it in his word. Now, let's go to a scripture that begins to help us to understand it a little bit more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 18. It's a very popular scripture. Now, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Somebody say temporal. Do you know what it means when we say something is temporal? It means that thing is subject to change. That thing can change. So, Paul is saying by inspiration, he says, the things that are seen, anything you can see with your two korokoro eyes, he says, that thing is subject to change. It has the ability to change. He says, but rather than look at those things. Now, let me explain what it means. To look at is not just to look at and take away. No. When you look at the word look there, as much as I don't like to do this, but it helps. Is the Greek word skopio, and it means to consider. It means to fix your gaze on, to pay attention to. So Paul is saying, he says, the way to do this fight of faith is by not paying attention, fixing your gaze on the things that you can see. He says, but rather fix your attention on what you cannot see. Now, that's interesting. He says, because what you can see with your physical eyes are subject to change, but the things you cannot see, those things are eternal. How can what you cannot see be eternal? I will tell you. 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 23. Chapter 1, rather, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. Now, James, so Peter speaking now. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. And he's talking about the word of God, but he explains it later. He says, we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. By the what? By the what? By the which liveth and abideth forever. Go to the next verse. He says, and he begins to explain. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. Verse 25. I like this verse. He says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I want us to read the last verse together. He says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Is this akin to it being eternal? He says, the word of God is eternal. So when Paul says, look at the things that are not seen, he's saying, look at the word of God. Look at the word of God. Do not pay attention. It's not that you might not see it with your optical eyes, but do not give it attention. Rather, fix your gaze on what the word of God is saying. Now, when you read Romans chapter 4 and you read about Abraham, you begin to understand this in the life of a man. The Bible says from verse 17, talking about how Abraham called those things that be not, talking about God's character as though they were, verse 18 says, who against hope, talking about Abraham now, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to what was spoken, verses 19. Now, verse 19 says, and be not weak in faith. What was the proof that he was not weak in faith? He considered not. Can you see it? He considered not. His own body now dead. Remember, this was a man that was 100 years old. and his wife. He says, he talks about, he says, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was about 90 years old. Now, medical science says, I'm saying medical science because in our kingdom, it is not our reality. But medical science says that by the time a woman is 45, she enters into a state, they call it meno. Meno what? Meno. Now, this one was 90, 45 times 2. This one is meno stop. Nothing is happening anymore. You know, pause. You can still continue what you pause. But when you stop, it's gone. This one's meno stop. But Abraham looked at her and said, I'm not going to consider. I'm not going to consider. Are you considering that bank account? You're looking at it. You say, ah, but we sold now. I mean, we've sold for the building. We've sold. And they are telling us to sow again. And in fact, sometimes it is even God telling you to sow. You say, no, you're looking at the bank account. Can this thing add up? In our kingdom, that's not how things add up. Anything plus faith equals what God has promised. Yes, sir. So he says, this thing is not adding up. You're looking at, you get a report, and they tell you this is what is happening in your body. They say, well, the doctor said you have hypertension. And you too, you carry your mouth and say, well, they said I have hypertension. In our kingdom, it doesn't work that way. He says, this is the report from the doctor. This is what they are saying. They've told me there is no promotion this year in my office. Okay, that's what they said. That is what they said. They've told me that, for me to succeed, I have to do certain things. They've told me that, you see, in this office, people are promoted gradually. And when this is the salary, there is nothing changing. They've told me that when you locate your business in this place, that nothing happens. So you have to go to the middle of town. Why don't you even have the money for middle of town? All of that is what you can see. But the Bible says they are temporal. They are subject to change. They are subject to change. He says he considered not. Read verse 20. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Can you know why he didn't stagger now? Because he did not consider. Because it is what you focus on that gets your attention. Your behavior is going to be directly proportional to what you are focusing on. So if you are focusing on all the things you do not have, then it will reflect in everything about your behavior. You wake up in the morning and say, today again. They say, good morning. What's good about the morning? Yeah? What's good about the morning? He says, while we look not. He says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not at the promise of God. So you see, when you stop considering, you know what will begin to happen? And you are now. There are two parts. The first part is not to consider. The second part is to consider something. Do you understand? What a lot of people do is that they've stopped considering, then they are not considering anything else. And I can assure you, nature abhors vacuum. The devil will give you something to think about. So it is not enough. Why you don't consider? Change your focus. Let your focus be what God has promised. Then you know what will begin to happen? As you focus on what God has promised about your business, about your health, about your career, about your children, about anything, your finances, as you focus on what God has said, God would begin to speak. Let me tell you what he would do. He can give you a song. You know what Pastor was talking about last week? He can give you a song. Now, you see, you are in the middle of a situation and you're wondering, hey, how will this thing work? And the song that is coming to your spirit is, Jesus, yeah. And you're wondering, how will Jesus, yeah? What is the correlation between Jesus, yeah, and this thing? He said, that song says, what was impossible? I like the part that says, Baba. He says, Baba is made possible. Oh my God. Yeah, you're wondering, and you wake up in the morning and you feel like dancing. It's a dance this morning. And you see, what you should do, don't consider the situation and say, well, why am I even dancing? Start dancing. Everybody might be looking at you and say, we don't understand you. They don't need to understand you. God understands. Start dancing. Give it good dance steps. You see, you might wake up and it might just be a laughter. It might be a laughter and you're laughing. Look at this. See, sometimes I look at certain things in life and it's getting more difficult and I just start to laugh. Because it is the victorious person that laughs. It is the victorious person that dances. It is the victorious person that sings. So you see, as you are doing that, it's a proclamation of who you have become in Christ Jesus. It's a proclamation of what the real circumstance. You are superimposing your spiritual realities on your earthly circumstances. And you know what you're going to get at the end? The Bible says that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, he says, "And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." There is no other way. Even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world. I want you to shout out loud wherever you are, "I'm a world champion." Shout out loud, "I'm victorious." I want to do something. Close your eyes and say, "I am victorious." Close your eyes again. Say, "I am a world champion." Close your eyes. Say, "I am victorious." Say it one more time. "I am victorious." For those that are really seeing victory, something will begin to happen to you. Say, "I am victorious." Say, "I am victorious." Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you jump on your feet this morning? I am victorious. I'm a world champion. All things are working together for my good. Oh, yes, 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 yes. All things are working together for my good. Hey, all things are working together for my good. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I want you to begin to speak. Begin to speak. If there is a specific situation you want addressed, begin to say what God's word says about that circumstance. "I walk in health." Oh, yes, every part of my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, functions in the perfection that God has created it to function. No sickness in this body. No pathogen. You know, the Bible says, "Strangers shall hear your voice and they shall flee." I perceive that somebody that, you know, they call diseases pathogens. Pathogens are disease-causing organisms. Bacteria, virus, everything. You see, at your voice this morning, they'll begin to flee. Because that is not God's reality concerning you. Oh, rabaka satala rabahandele rebrokosko vrahandele reba. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you for being a part of our broadcast. You know, we never like to end without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Coming into Christ is beyond joining a church, is beyond a religion. It is joining God's family. And that is done when you believe in Christ Jesus. So I just want to lead you right away now. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say after me, say, "Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again and that you paid for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and from today I belong to you." If you have said those words, we'll believe you are born again. You are part of God's family right now. You can go ahead and rejoice about it. God bless you. We love you. Stay blessed.